David Hawkins is the senior editor of the American Leader and formerly worked at the Fulcrum and CQ and Roll Call. He knows more about this stuff than almost anybody I know. Yeah, than anybody I know. So let's talk about the two names that keep coming up and up and up and up and up. Manchin and Sinema. Tell us about who they are and what they're up to.
Manchin and Sinema. Sinema and Manchin. Make a great law firm. So I think I can do this in one sentence each, maybe. Joe Manchin from West Virginia, the Democrat who represents one of the most Republican states in the country. He is a centrist conservative Democrat of long standing, and he knows where his future lies electorally back home. This is his, you know, he's been the governor for two terms. He's now been a senator for quite a while. He is a political survivor, and he does not want to lean too far left and get clipped by a Republican in his own home state. So that, I think, is at the core of what Joe Manchin wants. He also likes to be a deal cutter.
Is this because he's what we call a Republicrat?
That's why, a blue dog Democrat, a Republicrat. Yeah, he is, although we should, I come back to this every time, he is still more liberal in his voting record than plenty of the blue dog Democrats than we used to talk about. I mean, his voting record is still more to the left of even the most lefty Republican. His voting record is to the left of every Republican.
Is there anything that Joe Biden could do to bring him over the line?
Gosh, it doesn't seem like it, because Joe Biden's been at this now for 6 months, and as you say, we hear about Joe Manchin till we're, you know, kind of blue in the face. They've tried everything. It does not seem like Manchin is movable. I thought when the year ended, and Manchin walked away right before the holidays and said, "I'm not going to do this $1.8 trillion or $2.2 trillion Build Back Better." It seemed to me like over the holidays he would come up with an alternative, and then that would be smaller and would be more targeted, and that Biden would buy that and claim half a loaf as victory. I was totally wrong about that. That doesn't seem to be where it's headed, especially now that inflation is up. Joe Manchin seems genuinely to believe, or at least politically to believe, that such a big additional investment of federal money into the economy would be bad for inflation, would fuel inflation even more, and is a terrible idea. So I think Manchin, there's nothing. I don't think that Joe Biden can do to get to Manchin, and certainly not to Sinema either. Kristen Sinema's vote was more or less in hand on that Build Back Better thing, but now she and Manchin, to go back to what we were talking about the last time, are the two Democrats aligned with all the Republicans against changing the filibuster in any way, it seems, to allow these voting rights package to get through.
So what's Sinema's story? I mean, what's her motivation?
Yeah, she's got a fascinating. Her motivation is she is one of the great political chameleons of modern times.
Did you say chameleons or comedians?
I said chameleons.
Okay, please.
I said chameleons. She started out quite lefty. Her first forays into politics in Arizona were as a Green Party candidate, and she has moved steadily to the right, thinking that that's what makes sense for her to survive in Arizona. She's one of the most inscrutable senators, people in public life you'd ever want to meet. She does not betray much of her thinking. She's very good at evading being pinned down on specifics. One thing the one difference, for example, is during that whole Build Back Better discussion in the fall, Manchin was willing to more or less negotiate in public and say, "Here's what I like, here's what I don't like, here's what I'll go for, here's what I won't go for." Sinema, the opposite. She would never say in public. She would never reveal her negotiating hand in public. Did it all very obliquely and quietly and behind the scenes. Why she now really stuck it to Joe Biden a couple of days ago now, by actually, you know, Biden's was literally getting in the limousine to come to the Capitol to try and talk to Democrats about the filibuster and doing something, some carve out for this voting rights package on the filibuster. And Kristen Sinema has the temerity, you could say, the stones, the rudeness even, to take to the Senate floor and say, you know, I don't care what the president says as he comes up here. I'm against the changing the filibuster altogether. That's pretty bold politics, even in today's era of where, you know, all the old niceties have gone out the window.
Let's go to my favorite part of this program called Where Are They Now? Ready?
Sure.
Mike Pence.
Mike Pence is, as we talk now, where is he now? He is waiting. He is deciding how much to cooperate with the January 6th committee, if at all. This would be one of the great, it would be a great breakthrough for the January 6th committee if Pence himself goes and becomes a witness or gets deposed by the January 6th committee. Pence has already somewhat cooperated with the committee because two of his closest confidants and aides of long, long standing have gone to cooperate with the committee. That never would have happened without Pence's say-so. I don't quite understand what Pence's long-term play is. If he thinks he's going to be president or the Republican nominee by being even that cooperative with the January 6th committee, I don't understand how that's going to work or whether he makes making a halfway break with Donald Trump, I don't think is going to do anybody any good. It's got to be 100% break or no break at all.
What could he be thinking? In other words, does he really think he could be president of the United States at this stage of the game?
I think he does. I mean, I think this is an ambition of long, long standing. He hasn't given up on it. He is making other sort of preliminary moves to suggest that he wants to run. Whether he thinks, I mean, he's a young man. He's younger than he looks. He's only in his early 60s. So he has a long time horizon. I mean, remembering that, you know, how old the current president is, the time horizon for running for president used to end by about your early 60s or your mid 60s. Now it goes a while. So maybe he doesn't think 2024 is his time, but he can somehow rehabilitate himself for 28 or 32.
Wow. Obviously, there's no way that you see the past president, Mr. Trump, turning pro-Pence, do you? Or otherwise known as propensity.
He has no propensity for being pro-Pence. No, I don't. I think Donald Trump has made it clear that when he runs again, and I think it's a when, not an if. I think I would lay 9 out of every 10 of my dollars on the Trump will run again in 24 marker.
Me too.
That Pence is not even being considered to come back as vice president again. I think Pence is in the wilderness with Trump, and so I guess my own view is in for it. You know, if Pence is going to. I mean, Pence has been sort of all over the map. You remember there was this one time where he said, Trump just had one bad day. He referred to January 6th as Trump having a bad day. Out of 4 years of good days, he had one bad day. Now Pence is different than that. But the fact that Pence is not, you know, absolutely meshuggah about, having hang Mike Pence and Trump hanging him out to dry, I find astonishing. Can't really quite understand why he doesn't make a full break and hope that over the long time, that's the right place to be politically.
Yeah. It's always wonderful to have David Hawkins, senior editor of The American Leader, who formerly worked at Fulcrum and CQ and Roll Call. What a bibliography you have. It's great to see you. And when we come back the next time, I got lots more for you.
Thank you, Alan.